Thank you, Lionel. It's a privilege to be here again and to fellowship with you. My parents are, they tell me, east of Port Alberni on a small lake where they can swim and have absolute privacy, and their cell phone does not work out there. So they are enjoying a well-needed vacation out on Vancouver Island. I want to give you all a little bit of news. As most of you know, I'm Ellie Nessim's son and have been working with a group called Chosen People Ministries for a number of years in the Seattle area. I met my wife in 1989, married her in actually the very same weekend that Ronnie and Caroline met, at the same place. But I married her in 1992 and moved down to the States and have been with Chosen People Ministries since 1998. And Deborah and I have had an outreach to Jewish people there. We've had monthly fellowships at our home. We've done Bible studies, different types of outreaches. And I think the Lord has given us a valid, solid ministry in the area. However, our ministry has been asking us to consider moving to England because they have a, and this is very exciting, so I can't help but smile, but they have a need for someone to rejuvenate their work in England. They had a work in the 1940s through the 60s, and then a few years ago they had a worker for a little while. But they want to have someone to reach the Jewish people in Golders Green, which is an area north of London, in the north part of London, which is very Jewish and kind of frum, I suppose you could say as well, maybe, pretty Orthodox. But a very Jewish neighborhood in a city that has about 200,000 Jewish people. And we're not sure exactly what form the ministry will take, but our ministry said, look, we need you to go there to help our ministry get established. And then after a couple of years, we'd like you to do some further studying at a university and get an advanced degree because we want to be able to teach Jewish believers and prepare them at the master's level for a full-time ministry to Jewish people wherever they might be. Our ministry is planning to establish this seminary in New York, in Manhattan, and they want me to be one of the teachers. So I'm incredibly excited about that because it answers a heart's desire that I've had since I was in my 20s, seeing a need for solid teaching and a need for solid grounding for leaders in the Messianic movement. And so this is a tremendous opportunity that Debbie and I are looking forward to. Lord willing, we'll be moving to England in January. Right now, we're beginning to pack things up. We've had a couple garage sales. We've given things away, clearing out the house, getting ready for the move to England. So please pray for us as we consider this. I'm guessing we'll be back in Vancouver every year or so to see family and so forth, my parents, and to see my wife's family in Southern California. But we're excited about this opportunity to minister to Jewish people in England, to go for further education and become hopefully better able to serve our own people and also to teach ultimately in New York. And we're going to, pack up everything and we'll be moving in just a few months. So I wanted to let you know about that so you can pray for us. I have a number of prayer cards. I put them on the table at the back with all the literature. If you want to get one of these, by all means, just grab one and stick it in your Bible or on your fridge, whatever you might want to do with something like this. It's even a postcard. You could mail it to someone. But keep this because the more you pray for us, the more effective I know that we will be in ministry. We cannot do anything of value without your prayers. And if you want to get our monthly prayer letter, if you want to keep up to date with us that way, and we also send out the Chosen People magazine just let me know. Give me your name and address, and I'll make sure you get the prayer letter and are kept up to date with what we're doing that way. This morning, I wanted to talk a little bit, however, about the famous saying that we have as Jewish people that has arisen out of a prophecy that Moses gave in the book of Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy, we have the second giving of the law, so to speak. The book of Exodus and Leviticus pretty much lay out the laws of God for the people of Israel. When we get to the book of Deuteronomy, the prophet, the leader, the judge, Moses, reiterates the law that God has given Israel with blessings and curses upon Israel should they obey or disobey. In the midst of all that, as Moses is now no doubt an elderly man, at some point God is going to reveal to him that he is not going to be able to bring his people into the promised land. And God is going to reveal to him where and when he is going to die before that happens. Moses writes reflectively, but also guided by the Spirit. And in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, he tells the people of Israel something that is going to give them some hope. For Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses our teacher, as we call him, there says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me in your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear." Who is this prophet who is going to be like Moses, who is going to be raised up by Hashem, by God, the Almighty, in the very midst, from the midst of Israel? In verse 18, again, the Lord says, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you, Moses, from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die." In the midst of all that, that solemn warning, God is telling Moses that he is planning to raise up a prophet for Israel, that Israel will hear. Those of us today who are here and believe that Yeshua is HaMashiach, the Messiah, know who that prophet is. But in Deuteronomy chapter 34, Devarim 34, Moses may be speaking prophetically, or quite possibly the editors of the script who are putting a postscript onto the Torah as the Torah is being preserved by King Hezekiah's men. Right, Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 10. And this seems to be the postscript. "But since then there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." And this too, I believe, is inspired and divine scripture given to us by God, but possibly not written actually by Moses' hand. Since that time, since the time of Moses, no prophet has arisen. What is the distinguishing feature of this prophet? He knew the Lord face to face. This is something that goes to the heart of the controversy between us as Jews who believe in Jesus, Yeshua, and our people, Israel. The other week I was giving out a few flyers in Bellevue, which is just east of Seattle, and a young lady sitting on a bench wanted to know what I was giving out. I told her, and she said, "Well, I'd better not speak to you then." Jews just don't believe in Jesus. That's a very common saying. My wife remembers when she was a child, if Christians came to the door, all her mother had to say was, "We're Jewish." And they would say, "Oh, okay, we're sorry to bother you." And off they would go. I didn't have that experience because my parents are believers. But that's the common Jewish experience. We don't talk about Jesus. He's got nothing to do with us. And most Christians accept that at face value. Well, there is a prophet like Moses, and that is Yeshua. This is where we look at Scripture and we see one who fulfills all that the Scriptures have told us Messiah would be. Where we see one who fulfills everything that Moses was and more. But because our people have rejected Yeshua the Messiah as the Messiah, we have various sayings. One of them is that in every generation there is a Messiah who is presented to Israel. And if we would but receive him, he would prove himself to be that Messiah. This belief is what was behind the huge campaign in the 90s to accept Rabbi Menachem Schneerson as Messiah. In fact, I have a bumper sticker, which is not on my car. I keep it as a souvenir that says, "Baruch Haba, Melech Mashiach. Blessed is he who comes, King Messiah." Next to it, on the bumper sticker, a picture of Menachem Schneerson. You don't have to be too bright to connect the dots. While they didn't say necessarily on that sticker that he's the Messiah, they did everything but. Because our people have rejected Yeshua as the Messiah, we have been led into some errors. There was a rabbi, a famous rabbi, one of the most famous of all time, who lived in the high Middle Ages, shortly after the Crusades had begun. He was Moses ben Maimon. Maimonides, we call him, or very often we call him Rambam for short. That stands for Rabbi Moshe ben Maimonides. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses our teacher, Moses who wrote the Torah under God's guidance, was raised the son of Pharaoh, born in Egypt, and brought into the people of Israel by God for a specific purpose to deliver us and to give us the Torah, and who he was both king and judge and a prophet and in some ways a mediator between us and God, although he was clearly not a priest. Here came Moses ben Maimon in about 1135 AD or CE. Moses was born in Spain, in Cordoba. He was a brilliant, brilliant scholar. When he was in his 20s, he was already writing and already being highly respected. Because the Muslims conquered the city that he was in at that time, and there was resulting persecution. He wandered for years in Spain until his family finally came to Cairo. In Cairo, he became the royal physician, a fascinating man in Jewish history. And as the royal physician, you'd think he was a pretty busy man. But somehow, he was able not only to fulfill his duties as a physician, but to become the leading scholar in Judaism, taking the Torah, taking all the traditions that had been developed. Remember, the Torah was given by God, but after the temple was destroyed, shortly after that, the Mishnah was compiled, which was a compilation of rabbinical teachings about the Torah. And following the Mishnah, a couple hundred years later, the Talmud was compiled in both Jerusalem and in Babylon. And this was further rabbinic comments to clarify the Mishnah, which was clarifying the Torah. And a great body of Jewish knowledge had developed, and here came Rambam years later, centuries later, and he would be the one who would make sense of it all for the Jewish people. It was very controversial what he did because many disagreed with the whole idea of collating all of Jewish knowledge and trying to reduce it to some simple principles. So he wrote a commentary on the Mishnah himself and wrote a book which you can still get today, The Guide for the Perplexed. But one thing he did, and the Talmud is perplexing, and so that's why he called it that. One thing he did that stays with us today and we need to be aware of and is a reminder to us of the divide that there exists between those who believe that Yeshua the Messiah is the one that God has given to us and those who do not is that he wrote 13 principles of faith. And this is one of the reasons why we do not in Messianic congregations typically use standard Orthodox or even Reform Siddurs. The 13 principles of faith for a religion that many claim has no creed are essentially the creed for Judaism. And there we read number 7, I believe with perfect faith that the prophecy of Moses our teacher, peace be unto him, was true and that he was the chief of the prophets, both of those that preceded and of those that followed him. Basically, writing out the possibility that he is, that there is any prophet that has arisen like him. In fact, to make it clearer, in the morning Shabbat service, the phrase occurs in some siddurs, there has never yet arisen in Israel a prophet like unto Moses, one who has beheld his similitude. We know a prophet who is like Moses, who beheld the similitude of God, the likeness of God. In fact, who saw God face to face. And that is Yeshua himself, who saw the Almighty God face to face on the Mount of Transfiguration. Yeshua himself, who spoke directly to God the Father as he was giving his life for us. And yet our people have put a barrier between us as a people and our Messiah, saying that there has arisen no prophet like Moses. The 13th principle also says, I believe with perfect faith in the coming of the Messiah, and though he tarry, I will wait daily for his coming. Again, our people are waiting for the Messiah, but they have not looked back to see that Messiah has come. The time was ripe. The time was right. The scriptures were clear that this was the time when Messiah should come. And Messiah came in fulfillment of the prophets, in fulfillment of the word of God. And yet our people deny that Yeshua could be the Messiah. Now it becomes clear why when you talk to a Jewish person, they will say, quite naturally, Jews just don't believe in Jesus. Because in our daily prayers, in our weekly prayers in the Shabbat, on the Shabbat, in the Siddur, there is a clear statement. Messiah has not come yet. There has not arisen a prophet like Moses. I think these words would have been even clearer if the Jewish people of the Middle Ages had felt free to express their minds clearly. But under persecution from the so-called Christian church, and from Muslims as well, they were very careful in how they worded things. Our people have denied the one like Moses. One thing that is interesting is that as a result, our people have wandered over time further and further away from their Messiah. The group that today speaks more of Messiah than any other is a group called the Hasidim. The Hasidim were a group that were started in Poland in the years shortly after the Middle Ages had come to an end in the 1600s or so. I have to confess I've forgotten the date. When a rabbi called the Baal Shem Tov lived in Eastern Europe and began to gather around him followers, teaching not a simple dry following of Jewish tradition, but also life, spiritual life. He became incredibly popular, but mixed with his popularization of Judaism to the Jewish masses, who in that part of the world were often farmers and peasants, he also took away from them the biblical foundations of their faith. And delving further and further into mysticism, he combined a lot of superstition with the faith of the Jewish people. Our people are stepping further from the Messiah. He became known as the Baal Shem Tov because that means the master of the good name, which means the ineffable name of God. And it was the belief of his followers that he had so mastered the use of the unpronounceable name of God that he was able to work miracles and perform great feats for his followers. I think this is worth us knowing just a little bit about, but when this Baal Shem Tov died, he had various followers who became rabbis after him, and wherever they taught, they started a different movement of the same kind as the Baal Shem Tov. So you have the Bratislav Hasidim, they come from Breslov. You have the Lubavitchers, I guess they must come from Lubavitch. And you have different Jewish groups, even today, who follow in this tradition, following the teachings of this Messiah. Now, why am I saying all this? I'm kind of going a little bit too much into depth, or just giving you a little bit more than needs to be done on a Shabbat about this rabbi. The rabbi who followed him, who has become the most popular, was known as the Alter Rebbe. Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Schneur Zalman. It was his descendant, Rabbi Menachem Schneur's son. Schneur's son, he was his ultimate final descendant. Rabbi Schneerson had no children. Who was declared to be the Messiah by the Jewish people. And today, if you talk to any Hasid, any Lubavitcher particularly, they will know who Schneur Zalman was. They will know who the Alter Rebbe was. And they revere him. And they've revered his descendants right up to his son, Rabbi Menachem Schneerson. And almost worshipped them because of the teachings that they have given. But God has given us not the Alter Rebbe, but I would like to say the Ultra Rebbe. He's given us the Almighty, Yeshua HaMashiach, the one who is one with the Father, who is the Messiah. And I noticed that in our bulletin this week, there is a clear statement of the fact that Judaism has and does have a stream of thought in it that allows the divinity of the Messiah, that not only allows it, but believes in it. And here is our Ultra Rebbe. He is the one who fulfills the words that Moses spoke. In John chapter 1 and verse 17, we have that famous and clear statement about our Messiah. And I think when we put this into context, with the Jewish people expecting one who would be like Moses, we can understand this text just a little bit better. Because, as no doubt you have been told, many people have taken this verse to put Yeshua and Moses in opposition to each other. John chapter 1 and verse 17 says, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth, chesed ve'emet, came through Yeshua HaMashiach." The word "but," if it's there in your scriptures, is in italics because it does not appear in the Greek, and it's something that someone from a Western mindset thought belonged in there. It's a word that someone put in there to try and make sense of it all. But John, throughout his gospel, makes a number of comparisons about between Yeshua HaMashiach and Moses, who is his prototype. Moses was our leader, our teacher. Now, grace and truth came through Yeshua, the Messiah. If you go just a few verses later in John chapter 1 and verse 45, we have the story of Nathanael. Nathanael was one who was a little bit skeptical about Yeshua HaMashiach. And yet, when he determines that Yeshua is HaMashiach, he says this, John 1, verse 45. Or rather, Philip tells him this and says, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Yeshua of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." This is the one. And John is pointing out to us in this gospel, remembering those stories that the Spirit is bringing back to his mind of times when people have said, Yeshua is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Moses. He is the one who has fulfilled everything that God has given us. And so when we look further into Acts chapter 3 and verse 22, there is a tremendous statement of who our Messiah is. Acts chapter 3 and verse 22. Peter is speaking to those who have come as witnesses to a miracle that God has performed through him. And there he says, "Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you.' And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people." Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, "In your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed." To you first, God, having raised up his servant Yeshua, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Yeshua has come. He is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Moses. He is far from being the Alter Rebbe, as the Lubavitchers would call their famous rabbi, but he is the eternal Messiah. It is exciting that we follow him. There are a number of characteristics that people look for in a rabbi, and especially the Hasidim will look for in a rabbi. And one of those is that he will be a teacher. He will be, as his very title describes, one who will teach his people. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4 talks about the Messiah and how he will teach, or how he will be taught of God. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4. Isaiah 40 and following are incredible scriptures that are full of life, that speak of our Messiah and give us more detail than we find in any other one place in Scripture. And there the servant speaks and he says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting." Here is our Messiah, the one whom God has taught. Many people have speculated on where and how Yeshua got his great learning. Even when he was very young, he was in the temple dialoguing with the learned doctors, teachers of his day. And they were amazed at the depth of his learning and insight. Where did he learn it? It's possible. He used the resources of his synagogue. It is possible there were learned teachers from whom he could have received guidance in opening the Torah. But the scriptures tell us here that he learned from God himself. And whatever other resources were at his disposal, what he heard was from the Almighty God. He heard as the learned. God woke him up morning by morning, and he became the one, or he learned what he needed to learn so that he might bring to us the words of life. This is what we see again in John chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. By the Lord's own testimony. John chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. Yeshua says, "He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Elsewhere, Yeshua says, he only speaks as the Father speaks to him. He is the one who is worthy of being our ultra Rebbe. He is the one who is worthy of being the one that we look upon with great love and adoration and hang upon his every word. That's why some people have taken all the words of Messiah in some Bibles and typed them in the red ink instead of black. Because the words of Messiah are so precious to us. Although, of course, this is all the Word of God to us. Another thing people look for in the Jewish community, in the ultra-Orthodox or Hasidic community, is for someone who will show them the way. Not only with his words, but with his example. I read a story recently of a bunch of rabbinical students who were gathered around the keyhole of a rabbi's study, their rabbi. And they were one by one taking turns and looking through the keyhole to look at their rabbi. A man came up to them. He was a visitor. He had come to the rabbi to ask for advice. And what's going on here? And they said, "Oh, you should see our rabbi. Look at the great devotion with which he prays." So when it was this man's turn, he looked through the keyhole, and there indeed was the rabbi saying his prayers with great fervency and great devotion. That was teaching by example. Our example is Yeshua HaMashiach. We know well the words of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. We know more about his life than we'll know of any rabbi's life, I'm sure, through the scriptures. We know more of who he is. And in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, we are told to look to Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Elsewhere, Rav Shaul tells us of how he strives to emulate the Messiah. Elsewhere, telling the same people, "Follow me. As just as you have seen me live, follow me." There is a need for us today to have living examples of what it is to follow God. I can say it because he's not here, but I look up to my father very much as a man who really follows God and has been a consistent example in that. That's rare. But we need those examples of people who follow God so that we might learn how to follow in their footsteps, following in the Master's footsteps, because it is Yeshua that we really want to be like. And I'm sure my father does not want you all trying to be like him. You want to be like Messiah himself, Yeshua, our ultimate Rebbe. And he is our deliverer. Our Messiah is our deliverer, and with this I'll close. He was our deliverer who came from Egypt. Interestingly, Moses came from Egypt. He was born in Egypt and delivered his people from there. Moses Maimonides ended up in Egypt and became a great teacher and physician to the king there. But it was Yeshua who fulfilled the prophecy of Scripture that says, out of Egypt I have called my son. Because it was Yeshua who was taken to Egypt as a child to escape from Herod, and who was brought out of Egypt to the city of Nazareth, where he grew up and became the leader and deliverer of Israel. The people of his day realized that the Messiah might well be one who is more than just a man, more than just a rabbi. Philo himself, who was a great philosopher, lived in Alexandria in Egypt. And interestingly, there have been Jews in Egypt ever since the exile, 2,500 years ago. And he wrote, "A man shall come forth out of thee, Israel, who will rule over many nations, and his kingdom shall increase every day and be raised up to heaven." This is more than just a man. This is more than just an earthly kingdom. We serve a great and risen Lord. We have a great privilege to worship a Messiah that we can learn from as we read the Torah, as we read the scriptures that God has given us, and that we can also learn from his example, seeing him, the one in whom all the fullness of the Godhead is displayed bodily. We can follow his example and seek to be like him, the author and finisher of our faith. I pray that that is all of our experience, and that just as the ultra-Orthodox so sincerely want to be like their rabbis, so we might seek to be like Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. I'm going to conclude with prayer. Avinu Sheva Shamayim, we thank you for your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. We thank you that he fulfills everything that you promised he would, and that we have not even begun to see the greatness of who he is. We look forward to the eternity that we have to get to know you better, to serve him and know him better, to bring glory to your name. We thank you for his example. We thank you for the teachings you have given us in your scripture that guide us to him and that he has given to us. We pray that this week as we serve you, that our lives truly might be lived in a desire not to simply excel and do better than those around us, but a desire to be like the Messiah in every respect. Totally, completely obedient to you. We pray this in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach himself. Amen.